You got me? Cool. Awesome. All right. That's what I like to hear. So we are continuing on in Hebrews 10. I told you guys last week, you can read ahead and you should know exactly what we're talking about today. Amen? How many people read ahead? You give simple homework assignment. You think people would do it? No. Why do I need to do the homework assignment, Pastor? You're doing it for me. Oh, it's okay. You're right. I did do the homework. So, I find it kind of funny because, well, not funny, haha, but I find it humorous that God constantly continues to always confirm his word, in some form or fashion. And today, as we continue on through Hebrews 10, and believe me, there's, like I said in the beginning when we started this, it's going to seem like there's a disjointed nature to this section, but it all makes sense in the end. Just remember that. So don't look at what we talked about last week and go, okay, now this is something totally different, and then the next week it's going to be something totally different. No, no, no. The first and the second will make a whole lot of sense in the third. But it doesn't mean that there isn't an importance here, so we're going to dig right in. When we heard what God was saying through Miss Holly today, and what God was showing me about the bride, there's something that God wants us to understand about being prepared. Amen? How many people are ready for the king to return? Like now, today. Are you ready? Did you take care of all your business? Were you sure? Are you sure that you've done everything that he's told you to do? Right? This is a lot. And I don't want us to take this lightly, because here's the thing. We are going to be held accountable when the time comes. Right? You have to give an account, which we will talk about at the end of this. I know I keep touching on that, but I want to make sure you understand it, because I don't want you to lose sight of why all these things are so important. But there's something cool that God has done, because individually, yes, you have things that God expects you to do. However, those things are more important in a whole, because you are not individually the bride. We are the bride. Amen? We all are the bride. Some of us might be just the spot. But we don't want spots. Does that mean I have to get rid of you? No, it means I'm just going to get that OxyClean on you. That's what that means, right? We're going to get that spot out. Amen? Yeah? You like that one, right? But what can I say? How can I prove this? Well, how many people here know Jesus? Okay, well, there you go. We all share the same what? DNA now, right? We're all brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's it, right? There's no more, oh, well, you know, genealogically speaking, I'm from here. My parents came from blah, 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 blah. No, cut all that stuff out. That's all done. That's the old man. The new man is, I'm just a child of Christ. That's it. It goes Jesus, then you. It's real simple. Your genealogical tree, just, that's it. It just goes Debbie, Jesus. That's it. See how easy that was? I solved the whole thing. You can just hit, you're done now. I did it all for you. Fantastic. I mean, if you really want to, now if you want to go dig deeper, you can go from Jesus and then continue all the way back to creation. Have fun with that one. Okay? But we have responsibility as a whole to complete what? The Great Commission. Right? And ultimately, what Jesus started, we are to finish, right? Which is, we are to bring his kingdom where? Here, right? We are ushering in the king. That is what we are doing. That is our objective. That is our goal. Okay? But if we do not understand who we are, what we have, and how to wield it, we will not achieve it. That makes sense? I know we've heard this one before. You gotta learn how to be in order to have, so that you can do, See how simple? Just, I love taking good messages and just scribbling out and adding some new words to it. And you guys go, ooh, it's new. And I go, got him. No, this is totally not the same message. Don't think that I've done that. I have not. But I'm giving you guys some understanding of things you maybe have heard before, so you can understand that this is not new material that you're getting, but you are going to get something new today, hopefully, that you'll understand that you didn't understand before. And you can talk to some people now. How many people know somebody who is a believer in Christ? Okay, not saying they're a make-believer, but I'm just putting believer in quotes because you'll understand in a minute, who doesn't go to church. Well, it's just not my thing. Oh, you know those people? You know lots of those people, don't you? Lots of those people. Well, good news for you guys. I'm about to load you all up with a full clip magazine ready to go in there and go crazy. You guys are going to be set. You guys are going to know how to just go, oh, so you haven't been to church in 16 years? Well, let me talk to you a little bit about this. And they're going to go, wait, what? And go, yeah, oh, yeah, it's right here. Hebrews 10. Okay. How many people are ready to have that message ready for them? Let's rock. All right, Hebrews 10, 19. Starting there and going on through 25. But we will stop intermittently, so be prepared, because I will be going back and forth between that and other scriptures, okay? 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. I want to stop right there before we go even one step further. Boldness. How many people were bold? How many people were bold? Boldness is confidence. And I love this translation, freedom from timidity. That means you are not timid. How does timidity happen? Timidity happens because you have become complacent or accepting of things that you can't control. How many people have become accepting of, well, I can't do anything about that, so it just is, whatever it is. It is what it is. How about that? How many people have heard that statement before? It is what it is. Oh, I can't do anything about it. Then you can't raise your hand and tell me you're bold. Because absolutely, that's called timidity. And that is not what it is. You're free from timidity if you are bold. That means you dictate the circumstances. Amen? So when I say boldness, I didn't say it, I'm sorry. Having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, that means You have to wait for something to happen? It already happened, right? How do we enter? By the blood of Jesus. If you are baptized in the name of Jesus and you are covered in the blood of the Lamb, then there is nothing stopping you from entering into the holiest, period, end of discussion, right? Is that true? Is that what Scripture just said? So why do we hesitate? Why do we not come in like a rushing wind? Why do we pause? Why do we hesitate? I'll tell you why. Because we're timid. Because we accept things that maybe have happened or that we have created and allow those things to take away the boldness. Oh, well, I can't go in there. Oh, Jesus is going to know what I did yesterday. Whoops. 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 Is the blood of Jesus not enough? Is it, so go back to what I said in the very beginning. You need to know what you have, well, you need to know who you are, what you have, and how to use it, right? If you know Jesus, right, you have the blood, you need to know how to use it. Is the blood of Christ sufficient? Then why are you not running in? Covers everything. Doesn't matter. Now, is there a process? Sure, there's repentance, absolutely. But if you're hesitating and you're getting stepped up on, oh, I don't know, I can't. If that misstep is the difference between you being in the building when the dinner party starts, or you being locked out where there's darkness and gnashing of teeth, only because you had to wait one more second because you had to tie your shoe because you weren't ready. You think you're going to get it right the second time, or do you think you don't have a second time? Yeah, this is why this is important to understand. It's super important. But we'll continue on. By a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And like I said, we're going to be coming back to that. But going back to the very beginning, the reason why we don't hold on and enter in the boldness of Christ isn't just because we don't understand who we are and we don't understand what the blood of Jesus does. I don't believe that for one bit. I believe everybody here does agree with that. Amen? Yes? We all know it. What it does mean is that we don't trust Him. That's what it boils down to. Anybody want to argue with me on that one? Takers? Want to jump at the bit? Come on. That was such a setup. I was really hoping that somebody would go, I trust God completely. Oh, you do, do you? Oh, you do. No. You guys are smart now. You guys are getting too smart. That's what that means. But here's what it actually means. And I want to give you some depth. Maybe your struggle is, well, you don't want to agree with that, right? Maybe you go, well, I do trust God. I do trust God. I'm not the best at it, but I know Him and I trust Him and all this stuff, right? But then there's that boldness opportunity, and we miss that boldness opportunity because of, like I said, that misstep, right? But if we don't trust God in every moment, in every situation, what we end up doing is we disassociate ourselves. We end up making our walk just me and Jesus. Do you ever wonder how these people got in this method? Of where I don't need to go to church because I know Jesus and I'm good. That's how it happened. Because they stopped trusting God in every facet and aspect of their life. And I thought again, really profound. Holly was dead on. We'll just do the crack. I'm okay with just this much. Thank you. Because this isn't going to radically change my life. It's not going to make me have to give up everything. It's just enough Jesus that I'm comfortable with and I'm okay with Him. At this level. And if I go to the church, they're going to do this. Oh, you want to close it again? Hold on a second. Because guess what? I'll tell you this. This church, that is 100% what I will do. I'm going to smash your windows. I'm going to smash your windows. Why? Because you are part of this bride. And I do not want a part of the bride that I am a part of to be deficient or defunct. See, shepherds are a part of the bride as well as the sheep. But the difference is they got a stick. Am I lying or am I telling the truth? That's where I have two sticks, actually. I got a rod and a stick. The rod's the good one. You don't want the stick, okay? Because that one is meant for long-range attacks. And if you know anything about shepherding, you know everything I just said is true. But this is the facts. This is not what he intended. This was not the intention of what was given. And I can prove this. 1 Corinthians. You got that for me? Then we'll go right back to Hebrews. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. He is not scattered. He is not divided. He is one. Yes? Okay. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Say it. You're all baptized into one body. So does that mean that me and you are in one body. So if you do something I don't like, what do I get to do? Do I get to go, hey, get your act together. We share this body. You don't get to act out of line because we're in this together, right? Right? Let me do this. Anybody here ever have to do group projects in school? Remember those team projects? Two or three or four more people had to work on one project. Those lovely team building exercises that high school says, hey, let's all give you a very important grade that is going to impact your final grade at the end of the year. And I'm going to put you with three people that don't do anything. Good luck. Hey, mama, remember in fourth grade where me and you did a really long report about a specific tribe of Indians and we built this beautiful model of a hut, and a long hut, and it was just me and you did that all together, right? We gathered sticks and hot glue and all this stuff, right? This was a group project in school with me and three other people, and they did guess how much? Guess who did all of it? Guess who got 100? They did. 'Cause I got 100. But they got 100 too. Now, how many people would be really bitter about that? Now, ready? Here comes your curveball. Welcome to the body of Jesus. Sorry, it's not fair. It doesn't matter. Because who is supplying the needs? So is it about you? No. So if you have it to give, guess what you should be doing? All of it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You got it. You're welcome. I don't have a password lock, so you got it. But I'm also going to give you the bill at the end of the day. But think about it. Think about it. How reserved are we to want to even give even just the smallest thing? Because we look at somebody, even though they might be in the body of Jesus, but we go, well, they made poor decisions. They did things that they need to learn from their mistakes. They need to figure it out. Do you not understand that person's in the same body as you? So why are you making it more deficient for that part of the body to not do its job more effectively? That eventually is going to affect you. You're hurting your own self. Do you see this? Now go back to those people who are going out here going, well, it's me and Jesus. Over here by myself. Listen to those worship tunes. Are they part of the body? Are they helping? The functionality of the body comes from its cooperation with the other members. We are as efficient as we are cooperating with the other parts of the body. If we are not working together, are we working? No. And then we wonder why the body of Christ is not effectively impacting the world. It isn't effectively ushering in the King. It isn't doing the work that it was called to do. It's because we can't even get our own body in act. We can't get our people to actually recognize there's something they have to do. What does the body parts all offer? They offer strength, nourishment, right? These things help to promote growth in the other parts. As one part is doing its job, it's affecting the other parts locally to it, all helping each other achieve success. But if there is isolation, how many people have injured a part of their body before? Okay, done major injuries, right? Depends on the body part, but we'll see how this goes. But if you've hurt yourself in a specific place or specific way, you usually have to isolate that said area or space, right? And if you don't do something called rehab, what will happen to that area? It won't heal right, or it'll get worse, because what happens when you don't participate in activity? There's the word. It will start to atrophy, which means it starts to die. So here's the catch, church. I want you to get this big picture in your head. Those who are sitting outside claiming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are actually dying. They're dying. If they are isolated out on their own, they are slowly dying. And atrophy is not something that it just, oh, tomorrow they wake up, oh, now I'm dead. Nope. It will take a long time, but it will lose nourishment. It will lose functionality. It will lose parts of all of its working elements until eventually it just stops and quits. And if you are or you know somebody who thinks this way, this is a danger that is in their life because they are not being properly fed by other parts of the body. Amen? This is reality. And here's the catch. How can I say that? I can say that with 100% positivity because I live it here with all of you. Just Saturday, well, actually it was Thursday, I guess, was when you said Friday. Friday night you sent the email? Thursday. Holly sends an email out for the worship team or whatever, so I get the copy of the email, and she's got something that God is saying to her, and it completely hit me. She didn't know. She had no idea. But it was totally encouraging me and lifting me out of a really dark place that my head was in earlier in the week. But that doesn't happen if I'm not associated to the body. How often has somebody in this church been a beneficiary of another person in this church speaking up, saying something, and it having impact in their life? This is body connectivity, working one with another. I can say it's true because I live it here with you. And this is not an isolated incident. This is the body of Christ in the church worldwide. Amen? This will be at other churches who call on the name of Jesus and believe what I just told you. But if you don't believe it and you're okay with the EC Christians who come in twice a year, and that's okay, and you think that that's life in your church, you might become an isolated incident and start atrophying. Because you also don't support the body. Do you see how impactful this is on even a global scale now? It's more than just the regular church here. It's all the churches. So back to Hebrews 10, because in Hebrews 10, there's three major parts that really pull this all together. And I want us to highlight all three of these parts because it's clear, it's scripture, and it pretty much all summarizes in these three parts. But the three major parts that are addressed are to draw near with a true heart, hold fast the confession of our hope, and consider one another to stir up love and good works. What does drawing near to God mean? It's real simple. We did it already. It's our worship. It's our worship. That is how we draw near to God, right? This is how we invite the Spirit of God to dwell with us and in our midst, right? Every time you read in the Bible and you hear about the worshipers and the worshipers worshiping, it is in sync and in line with the Spirit of God moving intermittently or alongside with them. This is part of what we do because this is how we draw near to Him, right? And how we come is with the full assurance as God as the guarantor. What does that mean? When I come with full assurance, that means I know who. I know Him. I know who He is. I know what He's about. And I know He's good for it. Amen? What comes with knowing God? Well, we get His promises. Amen? Right? How many people know all the promises you have of God? Do you know them all? You only have what you know. If you want all the things of God, guess what you should start learning? Learn about what His promises are, amen? If you have a struggle with identity, guess what you need to do? You need to learn who God says you are. You won't have an identity problem anymore because you'll know who He is and you know who He says you are. Am I joking and lying about any of those things? No. God drastically transforms and changes our lives in many different ways, but it's all about how much of Him we know. And if we don't know him at all, we have very little to return on it. But when we trust him, we know him, and we understand all that is done and affirmed, we can receive all those things into us for the benefit of me. For the benefit of the body, but ultimately it's also for the benefit of who? And you, and also to those who don't know. Because everything that God gives us isn't just for us, it's also for them to reach out. Right? And how do I have this? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. So that's how I know you have it all and you don't have any of the old anymore. You don't have to worry about that stuff. You have been transformed into the new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen? All right? But then we have the second thing. Hold fast our confession. What is this? Don't dwell on this one for too long. It's kind of point blank and obvious. It's your testimony. There you go. Thankfully, somebody understood. Because it's your confession, right? But it's not just a booth with a priest. Mano y mano. That's not really what that means. It's not what this is talking about either. But in reality, what I love about this isn't actually technically a testimony like we think it is. Because when you understand what this scripture is really talking about, when it says hold fast your confession, what does hold fast mean? That's what you think it means. But in reality, it means to proclaim it and announce it loudly without ceasing. Does anybody know what that sounds a lot like? Yes, it does, but that's actually not true. huh? Witnessing? No? What is it? It's your praise. It's your praise, right? Because think about what is praise? We always do this, right? We go, it's praise. We go, it's praise and worship, right? Oh, it's praise and worship. Well, then everybody goes, well, praise is worship. No, it's not. Praise is exactly what you said. It is thanking God and giving him all glory and adoration for what he is doing and what he has done. That is praise. And also, get this, guys, what he is doing, what he has done, and you know what you forgot? What he's going to do. So praise, holding fast your confession, if you don't announce and celebrate the things that God has done, God is doing, and God is going to do, how does that affect the body? You think it doesn't? Okay, good. Thank you, clarification. Exactly. This is how we build up not just our faith, but we also usher in the coming king. How does that happen? If you're not proclaiming what he's going to do, where's he going? Are you in step with him? Do you know where he's going? I don't know about you. I do. But the only reason I do is because I listen and hear. The last one is the key, because this is where we come together. And it's very plain, black and white, and this is your ammunition, so use it freely. In order for us to stir up good works, we must Avengers assemble. That's what it says. It says assemble together, does it not? You think it's more like Voltron? That's fine. I'll accept that one too. Right? Verse 25. You have to go to the next one probably, right? There you go, right? And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Encouragement and exhortation comes from the assembly of the saints, and it's not found anywhere else. You cannot get this from the world. The world is not going to do this for you. It might fake it, but it will eventually lead to what? Isolation. Because what's the world trying to do? It's trying to encourage you back into your way and doing it by yourself and doing it to the point of what gratifies only you. Cracking that window just a very little so you don't get too much of Jesus, because after all, that's too transformative for me. I can't have that. That's radical. We don't want that. No. But this is the key. How many people try to find this stuff through online communities, chats? You find it through maybe one-on-one visit. Oh, well, I go to this Christian counselor and they're really helpful. I'm sorry. I'm not downing a Christian counselor for helping in certain areas and things. But if that's your only outlet, you have a problem. That is not going to fix the problem in your life. That is isolating you. You're only working through one vessel, and you're trusting that one vessel is going to supply all of your needs. So let's use this back to the body translation, right? If you are a, I want to pick something really good. I want to get a juicy one here. If you are a gallbladder, you don't have one, so I'm picking on it. If you're a gallbladder and you are trying to connect to the lung to get all of your help and support, is it going to work? You remember what your gallbladder was connected to, by the way? Okay. So that's where it belongs, right? But if it was attached to your lung and it's trying to do its job from there, is it going to do its job? So think about this. If your Christian counselor is a lung and you're a gallbladder, who do you need to be connected to? Because you're not going to work well if you're not, right? But how often do we try to connect to the wrong source because this is the source I want to connect to? How many people will go to a prayer meeting or something like that, but they're waiting to get prayed for by this specific person? I need the prophet to come and talk to me because I need to get a prophetic word. No, you need to get smacked by the shepherd because you're out of line. But you don't want to come to the shepherd because you know he's going to do what? Why are you doing this? You're coming here wanting that person to clean you up when you don't want to deal with me to help you get clean. You need to come to me first so I can help you get clean so you can go talk to him and then get direction. But you're trying to go around and get it your way. Again, window cracked. I'm going to keep pulling on it because it was really good. Again, and also demonstrating what I'm talking about in the entirety, because did we talk? No. Is that the Spirit of God doing it? Amen. There you go. All right. Movement of the Holy Spirit is not limited by any means. There's no limitations. We don't have the ability to go, all right, so listen, Holy Spirit, here's what we're going to do. You're going to talk to him, okay? He's going to open his mouth. We're all going to get edified and we're all going to leave, okay? That's what you're going to do. How many people want to get on the throne and tell him that's what he's going to do today? See? Good confession. But the more people that are present, this is what this means, guys. Now get this big picture, okay? Because I want you to understand why this is so important. But the more people that are present and willing to allow the Holy Spirit to move, the more connections are made. Think about that. You go, well, we're only a small group here, right? Yeah, but when all of us are here, how many more connections can be made? Versus when it's just me and you. It's very simple. If it's just me and you, there's only one connection, right? That's it. Just boom. That's it. Now, if I don't got nothing for you and you don't got nothing for me, that's it. I have like 20 things in my hand, but sorry, Jim, none's got your name on it today. You got anything for me? Go fish, right? Ever play that game? This is Go Fish, Holy Spirit edition. Got any eights? That's it. Who's got eights? Somebody put their hand up. Somebody's got an eight. Boom, you got an eight. There you go. Now we can work. Right? But then you got sixes. So you turn around and go, oh, well, who needs sixes? Boom, I'm going to give them to you. Who's got threes? Who's got twos? Who's got eights? Do you see how that works? Do you see how this works? How much better are we going to be able to, and I hate pulling this because it's just cliche and niche, but it's also been commonly being taught to the kiddos. How many buckets are we going to fill if we all are filling buckets? Correct. And who does that benefit at the end of the day? All of us. All of us get benefited by this. This isn't just a you and me or just a me game. We're not in this by ourselves. We're not meant to do it by ourselves, church. It's not meant to be done, right? And this is, again, I've already testified to how this is a physical example we've seen, but it's also logical. How many logic people are here who need to know Jesus works logically? Did you know he works logically? He can defy physics. He can defy all things, but he's also a very logical being, right? Okay? How much more encouraging is it to have 20 people rallying with you and offering many forms of support versus 1 to 2? How much more successful do you think you'll be able to climb that mountain if you have just one guy going, you got it! No, not that one! Okay, you're falling! Okay, you hit the ground. Yeah, that's compound fracture. No, but you're okay. Jesus heals. You'll get it next time. Or if you have a whole swath of people cheering you on, how much more uplifting is it knowing that you have that much support? Let's go to something a little more challenging. Let's say you struggle with addiction. It's really easy to deal with it when you only have one person to count on, right? How about when you have 20 people or a whole church that's sitting there going, no, you got this. No, you're going to make it. You're not going to go back to it. If you need me, call me. It's one thing, like sponsors, right? Oh, well, you get a sponsor in AA. How about if you have a church full of sponsors? Every single one of them, you have their phone numbers. Anytime you need a single person to talk to about it, you can just call them. And they're going to call and check on you to make sure you're staying clean. How much better does that work when you have more? I don't know anybody in the world who goes, hey, yeah, how much can I get for this? And they go, well, you can have that one thing over there, or you can have these 100 things over there. Go, yeah, I'll just take the one. From that same logic then, take that same logic, how much more impactful is the word that God is speaking to you when 5 to 10 others confirm it? Kind of hard to go, no, that's not God. It's real easy if somebody goes, you know what? You're going to have a breakthrough at work today. That person you've been witnessing to, they're going to start to listen. They're going to start hearing what you're saying. And you go, oh, okay. But if you have this person and this person and this person and this person all saying different things of the same things that you've been asking the Lord about, and they confirm all of that together, pretty hard to go, I don't know. Lord, I need a sign. Sign and wonder guy. Anybody? Sign and wonder guy. I need a sign. All right, fine. I'm going to hire a sign guy to follow behind you and just give you a whole bunch of signs. You go out there with a Coro sign and stick it in the lawn and go, here's your sign. Right? But what does this do? Not only does it build our faith and our confidence, but here's the catch. It builds community. Which is what? What's community mean? Common unity. Common unity. The more we do this, the more we find out how truly much we have in common. And how much we get along. And how much we work together. Then let's go back to that body understanding, right? How much more effective are we going to be if we're all commonly unified towards one purpose and one goal, commonly working together towards it, and also sharing and caring for one another. Care Bear Share. Matthew 24, 19 through 14. And this is wrapping up, guys. Because yet again, you don't have to take it from my words. Just listen to what God's saying. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. And you might go, what does that have to do with everything you just said? How does that happen if we can't be together? The end is coming, or the end will come. When? What did it say? And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. How does that happen? Does it happen because we're islands to ourselves and we're doing it out of our own strength? Does it happen because, well, I get a vision and I'm just going to go talk to that guy because I know it's God? Or does it happen when the church as a community is all purposing towards this one goal? Which isn't because I said that's what we need to do. I didn't tell you to do it. Did I tell you to do it? Well, technically I did. But I just read the Bible. So you can shoot the messenger in this case. I'm okay with it. I'm perfectly fine. But not only that, but if you go back to the beginning 9. No, not Hebrews 10, sorry, 24:9, yeah. They're going to deliver us up to tribulation. They're going to try to kill us. Okay? What else? People will be offended. They'll betray each other. All this hatred. Oh, we're describing what's already happening in the world today, right? Anybody get that vibe? That this has kind of already been going on? It's already happening. We have lawlessness. We have all this stuff that's currently going on. And what do we need to be doing? You hear it all the time. We need to be about Father's business, right? What did Father ask us to do? Go to all the nations preaching the gospel of the coming kingdom, right? That's what we need to be doing. Is it going to be easy with all that going on around us? We're going to need each other now more than ever, are we not? How much more do we need to rely on each other in order to make sure that we got each other's backs? Because this is the stuff that's going to be coming on your doorstep. You think there's so much hatred in the world now, wait till they actually start attacking you. And I don't just mean verbally. I mean physically. Oh, you're one of them? Get her! And a swath of guys just start coming over to start stomping you onto the curb. Don't want to be an island to yourself then, do you? How much of those believers in Jesus are going to be by themselves do you think are going to go ahead and say, oh yeah, that's me, come stomp my head in? Or do you think they're going to turn around and go, oh no, that's not me, I'm one of you guys? Then you wonder why people will turn and betray the name of Jesus? That's why. Because they don't have this. But when you have this, it's a lot easier to stand up when the mob comes, isn't it? It's real hard to take on a bunch of armed people. I don't mean armed with firearms and weapons. I mean armed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's really hard to come and take us all on when we're all armed, locked, and we're standing up and we're going, not here, you will. You're going to have to try and take us out one by one. Good luck. We're very infrequently by ourselves, aren't we? If you know our street, you know very well that there's a community right in Williamstown, and it isn't just generally in this church building. Amen. But this is biblical. What we did is biblical. Taking the land isn't about just saying, oh, well, I live here. It's called, no, I live here with my brothers and sisters. If you're going to come and knock on their door, you better watch out, because the next door neighbors are going to come and get you. Right? Think about it. I mean, think about that just for a second. This isn't just something that we say. It's actually something we physically do. Because we don't just want to be near each other and close to each other, but it's the only way we can make sure we have each other's backs. Because if you're distant and you're far away and you're by yourself, it's really hard. I want to protect you. I want to do my best to protect every single one of you guys. But if you're far away from me, it becomes very challenging. But that's why you need to be in a church, amen? Because even if you're distant, if you're in a church, you're connected. And you have a group of people in there that are protecting you. This is why this is so important. So now you can go ahead and you can take this lovely book. Just, you don't have to give them the whole thing. You just give them that section out of Hebrews and go, now get your behind in church. It's not because you need Jesus. It's because we need you. Amen. Amen. So Father, I pray, Lord, that your saints here today receive what it is that you've given them. And I pray, Lord, and I'm just going to be bold here. I'm going to pray you weaponize this scripture to them. Weaponize it in their hearts. They all admittedly said they know so many that know you, but just don't want to find themselves in a church. And I'm not saying they need to find themselves here. But Lord, you called us to be assembled because there is something greater that you are doing with us as a whole, as one body connected with sinews and tissues all interworking and interchanging one another in order to go out and accomplish your good and perfect will. So we need them. We need them in your body and not out as an island to itself sitting on a table, God. We need them in the body. So Father, I pray, Lord, that this would be a powerful verse that they would be able to take out, God, using your word, God, to go ahead and sow in good and fruitful seed, that Lord, it would produce the life to bring those parts of the body back into your assembly so that we can all go and accomplish your good and perfect will. Father, we want your will and nothing more. So Lord, have your perfect way in us and through us in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.